And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials on a Saturday morning. If I could only get this, there we go. Maybe that looks a little bit better. This program is called Health Essentials, and if it were up to me, which it is, I'd just soon talk about things related to health and not what's going on in the world right now. Anyway, sometimes the listening to the news right before I go on is a little bit much because, you know, you have feelings inside and you don't want to necessarily discuss those on the air. Anyway, I have a story to tell you. It's true. I'm not going to mention names. Of course, I don't want to, if the person listening is embarrassed by this, I don't want to take it that far, but I want to tell you a true story. Now, recently, I saw a little girl with just very, very severe abdominal pain. I won't go into it a whole lot, but she would say things like, I can't take it anymore. It's just, it's too much. You know, and I won't keep going on the details, but let's just say it this way. Very, very, very severe abdominal pain. Now, one of the things that was done was, the child had to be carried to the bathroom. There was no movement, no bending, couldn't stand on their own, just too weak to eat, a very difficult situation. And of course, I'm not telling you that I took care of it, I'm just telling you the situation. So in vague details, one of the things that I observed is the child was given a very, very potent probiotic. And of course, you're not going to get a child in severe pain to swallow capsules. So the capsule was taken apart. And the contents of the capsule of the beneficial bacteria or the very strong probiotic was poured directly in the child's mouth. And the observation was made that within about 20 minutes of the probiotic, all of a sudden the tummy began to churn and gurgle. There was probably gas, which is probably a very, very good sign, especially when you have such a severe amount of back pressure. Right there in the gut, you want to relieve some of the discomfort and pain. At least you want it to go away as a sign of healing, right? Well, within about 20 minutes, the child began to talk as if nothing bad had been going on, whereas they hadn't been able to do anything other than moan and groan. And to me, that was truly remarkable. They were just talking casually, telling stories, recalling things that had happened in the past, and they were very cognizant of what was going on. And of course, sometimes you can't get the best information of a child when they, you know, you can't ask them, well, how do you feel now? I mean, they could tell you a number of things. They might say a little bit better, but to have a child, I'm not going to say distracted, but completely able to turn on a dime, that was really, really remarkable. And I know that sometimes I tell the same information over and over again, but it's for the very purpose of explaining illustrating points. Who doesn't want to have robust immune function? Anyway, I want to share this with you once again. You may have already heard this before, but I want to read this to you. I got this from the Weston A. Press Journal, and it's just an abstract, but it comes from the Journal of the American Medical Association, 2015, volume 313, pages 1699 to 1701, if you want to read it. Okay. Several studies during the last decade have shown the relationship between the gut flora, stress, and anxiety-like behavior. You know, whether you're a child or you're 99 years old, this might be important information for you. The findings clearly suggest that changing the gut flora can affect behavior. And this was in mice now, making mice more or less anxious. Even more interesting are animal studies suggesting that the microbial colonization of the gut during a critical window early in life shapes adult neural circuitry and signaling with long-term effects on adult behavior. In humans, giving a probiotic fermented dairy drink to healthy female participants caused changes in brain activity. And we're talking about positive changes, not negative changes. That means better behavior, the kind that everybody's pleased with, especially the owner of the body. All of this fascinating research adds up to the conclusion that anything that interferes with the microbial colonization process early on can set the scene for trouble down the road, and that robust and healthy gut flora can determine depression-free moods throughout life. Isn't that interesting? At one point in time, I don't know if that's still the case, but 5 years ago, I think the drug, the antidepressant Prozac, was by far and away the most prominent or the most prescribed prescription antidepressant of all time. Maternal stress, that means when mom is pregnant and she's under stress, infections, antibiotic use in the mother, and cesarean birth can jeopardize the baby's disposition and even mental health throughout life. That comes from the Journal of the American Medical Association, 2015. I wonder how many physicians and nurses and physicians' assistants actually have read this information in turn, tried to explain this to all the patients that come in for antidepressants. I don't know. Could that be 60% of all their clientele? Maybe so. In fact, researchers at Ohio... This is... I mean, I can't make this stuff up, folks. It's just the information's too good. I guess you have to decide whether you believe or not. In fact, researchers at Ohio State University, they found that toddlers with the most genetically diverse types of bacteria in the gut, this means the ones that had the most beneficial microbes, not the least, but the most biologically diverse. That means they had a whole bunch of unique different types of species of bacteria. So those that had the most genetically diverse types of bacteria in the gut, they more frequently exhibited positive mood. Who doesn't want to have a child with a positive mood? They exhibited more curiosity, sociability, and being impulsivity. But those that had the lack of microbiome diversity is associated with greater indications of stress, such as temper tantrums, especially in boys. So what used to be treated with a belt strap or a psychiatrist's couch now calls for lacto-fermented food so we can introduce beneficial species of bacteria. Now, I realize everybody has their own idea of what a normal treatment is or how do you respond to an infection. And I'm telling you, I know that for a fact there is a time and a place for using antibiotics. There truly is. I'm not even sure how many lives have been saved over the years since antibiotics have been developed. Their life has been saved. And there's a time for that. If you have double pneumonia and you're in intensive care, yes, you need antibiotics. You truly do. Now, just for the sake of simple conversation, let's talk about this just for a second. We've kind of come to the point that we agree that we are supposed to have this thick, luxurious coating of good beneficial microbes. We're supposed to have this tremendous genetic diversity. And it's those beneficial microbes, they make just about everything that we need to be healthy. They make them in the gut when they're there. So we're all supposed to have certain numbers of bacteria that live in our digestive tract, right? So what happens if a person, every time they have a runny nose or a child has a runny nose, or maybe the child doesn't feel good, what if we run for antibiotics? And of course, I don't know how many times I've asked this question, but I'll ask a parent, I'll say, just tell me simply, how many rounds of antibiotics has your child had? And sometimes they go, I can't even count, maybe 40 or 50. And this could, sometimes it breaks down to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 times a year, every year of the child's life. What I'm going to suggest is that when we have a repeated use of antibiotics, it actually decreases the ability of the human body to defend itself in bacterial infections. And there could be as many as 4 aspects of this. Number one, when you use an antibiotic, not only are the pathological bacteria killed, they die, that you also can destroy and kill out the beneficial ones whose very purpose is to defend our body from other bacterial infections. And maybe this is not talked about enough, but one of the most tremendous roles of the beneficial microbes that live in the gut is they just naturally secrete some of the very best antibiotics of all time. And they're trying to prevent harmful species of bacteria like Streptococcus or Staph, or wicked forms of E. coli or Listeria. They keep them from growing. That way, if a person comes in contact with tainted food or food that could be toxic, well, if you have enough beneficial microbes, they kind of prevent the toxic form of E. coli from setting up shop in the body and growing and dividing and releasing its toxic waste. So we need to have beneficial microbes to help us be defended from toxic germs that we come in contact with. I know this is kind of a disgusting thing but I will. You don't always know who's handling the food at the restaurant. You don't know if they believe in hygiene. You don't know if they wash their hands the way they should. You don't know what they do when they go to the restroom and when they come back. You don't even know if they've washed their hands. The kitchen is completely hidden. Have you ever been to a restaurant where they cook the food out in the open? Yeah, I have a little bit more confidence. Now, that's not 100% confidence, but I have more. Number two, if we repeatedly over and over use just tremendous amount of antibiotics at every turn, then that one response that God has designed in our body, it's called fever. Did you know that for every 1 degree that the temperature increases, whether it's an adult or a child, the effectiveness of the immune system increases by 2,000%? I mean, doesn't that sound good? So would you agree with me that fever might have a purpose, and it's not always in the best interest of the child or the adult to suppress the fever? But if you use antibiotics every time you get sick, then the fever response is thwarted through the repetitive use of antibiotics, and our defensive mechanism becomes less able to develop the appropriate fever response. You know, out of all the people that I've seen that have received vaccines recently, and then a very large portion of those have become just seriously sick, I know the ones giving the vaccines for the flu say that's impossible. In the real world, if a person's sick right after they get the flu vaccine and they're convinced that they're sick from the flu vaccine, how can you argue with that? How? But there's a time and place where an inappropriate fever, it doesn't do anything for you. Do you know that's one of the highest correlations from the Cancer Treatment Hospital in the Houston area, MD Anderson? Number one on the questionnaire of those that have cancer, they're in disbelief that they can ever have cancer because they say we're never sick. Well, that might be a real-world example about how the immune system just doesn't respond in a robust way. Believe me, you want to have a fever sometimes instead of suppressing it or not having a fever at all. What do you do when the immune system just doesn't respond as aggressively as it needs to? Well, you might allow cancer cells to grow. And when cancer cells grow without the immune system attacking it very robustly or voraciously, that's a problem. Third, do you know that almost all antibiotics are made from fungal material? Most of them are, I should say that. That blue-green mold that grows on cheese, well, maybe that's penicillin. Or if it grows on an orange or a grapefruit, that's probably penicillin. So when somebody has just repeated use of antibiotics over and over and over and over again, I kind of think this makes their system a bit more vulnerable to fungal infections building up. Who wants to have a systemic yeast infection to where they feel chronically sick? No. And maybe what we're seeing every day, number four, is we're showing all these forms of infectious bacteria. They're becoming completely resistant to antibiotics, which means the more antibiotics that are used in our food supply, with our chickens, with our cows, pigs, what other meat do we eat? Fish? Yeah, farm-raised fish. All we're doing is we're making bacteria more virulent and stronger. Have you ever heard of MRSA? Have you heard of infections that just don't respond to antibiotics? I looked for the article and I couldn't find it, so please forgive me. But it was about a year ago, they were showing that all these infections that don't respond to the most potent antibiotics on Earth, all of a sudden they respond if colloidal silver was given. And that may be food for thought for you. Maybe you've never heard of using particles of silver to bolster immune function and to keep your body in good working order. But I kind of think if it was me, I would want to have some colloidal silver handy at the house. Now, you make up your own mind. I can't make your decisions for you. But I can't prevent you from studying every article that you could read. You know, I loaned a book to my mother, and I didn't say anything to her about what was at the back of the book. But, you know, she made the comment. She said the treatments are so fascinating. They used over 100 years ago for the flu and for infections. I said, yeah, isn't that interesting how they used colloidal silver to very successfully treat infections 100 years ago? But obviously it's too cheap and doesn't sound very impressive. But, you know, folks, this is really the truth. They're finding out now that all these bacterial infections that no longer respond to the antibiotics, you know, they become antibiotic resistant. When they add a little bit of colloidal silver, all of a sudden the bacteria die. Isn't that interesting? If you'd like to call me with a question or comment, please feel free to do so. There's a phone line officially open. I'm going to fold this sheet of paper out of the way. There we go. Now I can see the phone line. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Hello, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. About a month ago, I was listening to your program, and I pre-recorded one, and you talked about skinny girls and chubby girls, and the difference in their gut was the bacteria and the amount of it, and you talked about a fecal transplant.
Yeah, that was the Polish study from 2005.
Well, what would be a good source of the good bacteria that you get a hold of, like some kind of yogurt or something?
Let me take you down a different road just for a second. There is a very, very severe infection that they find in the hospitals called Clostridium difficile, or C. diff for short. And it's got to be the bane of nursing homes. It's got to be the just horrible in hospitals. But people go in just for a routine colonoscopy, or they go for a routine surgery, if there's such a thing. But they come out with a horrible infection. But I read this article about 3 months ago, and they demonstrated the most effective treatment of all time for C. diff is not 25 rounds of antibiotics, which is probably normal, but it was finding a healthy family member that has beneficial bacteria, and they would just do a fecal transfer. Now, I'm not telling you that's what I want you to do, because I know what you're asking me about the source of it, but my point is, when you have one person in the house, it may not be as healthy as they want. Everybody in the house benefits when they have wonderful, beneficial bacteria, and let me tell you some of the ways to go about doing that. There was a time and place where when people ate cottage cheese, when they had cheese as part of their meal, when they consumed buttermilk, yogurt, kefir, kombucha, raw sauerkraut, all those things, those are fermented foods, that was enough to do it. But now we're entering the era where we have so many chemicals in our environment, and we've been shoved so many antibiotics in our food supply that even if you go out and you eat chicken strips somewhere, you don't realize it, but you're getting mega doses of antibiotics, which sometimes are not adequately destroyed through high heat. And so it helps with everybody in the whole house. If one person is trying to improve themselves, if everybody improves themselves at the same time, things go a lot better. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So all those things that I just mentioned, oh, they're just fabulous. So do you like kefir? Do you tolerate dairy products well? Can you consume yogurt?
Yes.
But the way that I tend to favor, because it works a lot faster, it's just giving beneficial probiotics, because that's probably a little bit of a faster way, because you need to have sheer numbers of good beneficial bacteria if you're going to overcome the toxic ones or fungus or parasites. So that's where you want lots and lots of good bacteria.
Okay.
So given the circumstances of modern life, I'd say probiotics has got to be one of the best choices of all time.
Okay.
Usually the ones that are refrigerated are quite a bit more potent, as a general rule. Not absolute, but general.
Okay. Maybe they can be found in any grocery store, or?
Well, a health food store is probably going to be a much better choice. You can go to the refrigerated section.
Is any certain amount the best?
Well, yeah, but it's kind of hard for me to evaluate every manufacturer over the air. But what you can look for is you can look up their websites, and you can look for their clinical data that they publish, and you can try to determine from that which ones are going to be the most beneficial. But, yeah, you're looking at numbers. So if somebody said this particular microbe or this particular probiotic has exactly 1 billion beneficial species of Lactobacillus acidophilus, well, that's okay if you're perfectly healthy. But if somebody is not in great health the way they want to be, you might have to start approaching 50 billion and up to get the job done. You want enough good to overcome the bad. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so in doing this also, do you know how beneficial it is to eat real food? Oh, my word. If I could convince people to eat free-range eggs versus chickens that are forced to lay eggs under massive assault of antibiotics, that's always an improvement. If you can get grass-fed beef where they haven't used massive amounts of antibiotics to raise the beef, that's definitely a whole lot better. If you're certain that the chicken that you're putting in your mouth hasn't been raised on massive amount of antibiotics, oh, that's better. That's where you start to turn the tide. But like anything else, the number one predictor of chronic low-grade bacterial infections that never go away is going to be the amount of sugar that a person consumes. And if it's not sugar, yeah, sometimes people don't eat a lot of sugar. But they eat tons of foods that convert into sugar very quickly, which could be easily. It could be, you know, chips and bread and dough products. It just converts into sugar very rapidly. So fruits, vegetables, and meat, it's going to be hard to beat that one. What else can I help you with?
I don't know. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, it's your turn. You're next. 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. If you have a question, if you want to make a comment. But yeah, going back to the topic, when somebody decides they want to start eating differently, there's some foods that I'm going to call superfoods. Bubby's sauerkraut, raw sauerkraut, that's a superfood, my friends. Good morning. How's everything going today?
It's going good, Dr. Morgan. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
If one was having some treatments done that would cause it to be very nauseous and sick, would that probiotic for them?
I do not have the article right in front of me. But I will try to look it up so I can see if I can get that in your hands, or if you trust what I'm saying, that'll be good enough also.
I trust you.
But in the article, they were looking at how can we predict who's going to have the very, very best outcome. And in this example, they were talking about the use of radiation therapy for the treatment of cancer and also chemotherapy.
Yes, sir.
And so those that did the very best, the number one marker is going to be those that had the highest concentrations of beneficial microbes. If you want to call that probiotics, fine. So those are the ones that had the very, very best outcome when they use chemotherapy, the ones that had the greatest amount of beneficial bacteria living inside of their gut, which the way that I want to say this is the number one reason why we have a good immune function is going to be the bacteria in the gut. It's not the only factor. It's just the most important one. And all of us can improve ourselves by trying to improve beneficial microbes. One of the ways you might do that is just coming to terms with eating sugar, which I know you have. But for the other people listening, sugar is going to be the great disruptor. If you told me what is the number one reason why we have a surge in cancer, it's not because there's a lack of chemotherapy. It's over the top. It's because of sugar. It's not the only factor, but it's just one of the main ones.
I believe it.
Of course, if you ask me what is the number one cause of heart disease, I'd have to say excessive sugar consumption. What's the number one reason for severe arthritis? It'd have to be sugar consumption. What about diabetes? Oh, wait, we're told that sugar doesn't have anything to do with diabetes. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. Yeah, you don't have diabetes otherwise, except if there's different situations. But that's the number one factor for type 2 diabetes. So if you were to start including in your daily diet just a little bit of raw sauerkraut, that'd be great. You can actually go to the store and you can buy pickles that are fermented and they're raw, which means they haven't been pasteurized or they're preserving all those beneficial microbes. I may be a weirdo, but I actually like sauerkraut and pickles.
Yes.
Do you like pickles?
Yes, and I love sauerkraut.
Oh, man, excellent. I've always thought that one of the greatest substances of all time that's ever been created has to be apple cider vinegar.
Yes.
And you can actually buy the raw apple cider vinegar, and of course on the label it'll say with the mother. That's going to be that cultures of good microbes in there.
Yeah, I have it on the cabinet right now at Heinz.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll say directly on the label.
Yes.
It's with
unfiltered,
the mother.
Yes,
it exactly.
Unfiltered, all-natural apple cider vinegar with the mother.
Does that disturb you that it looks like there's some debris or sediment at the bottom of the vinegar bottle?
No, sir, I shake it up before I take it.
Well, who cares if it's a little bit cloudy? It's good stuff, isn't it?
That's right.
Now, tell me, do you tolerate dairy products?
Well, I like dairy products. I didn't know for sure if I should be.
Can I tell you where I'm going with this?
Buttermilk?
Well, buttermilk just doesn't taste the same as it did when I was a child growing up. But have you ever heard of colostrum before?
Yes.
Sometimes when a female Holstein cow gives birth to a baby calf, the very first substance that comes out when the calf nurses is the colostrum. It's almost kind of like a silvery blue clear color. Or if a human mother gives birth to the baby, that's the very first substance that starts coming out, colostrum. But that's one of the tremendous bases for improving immune function. So that might be one thing that you might want to look into is the use of colostrum.
Okay.
Because what you want is you want to have very, very robust, precise immune responses. And we want to really, really improve that. So supplementing with probiotics and beneficial bacteria, oh, that can be a godsend. If you need more information about that, call me at the office. I'll be glad to kind of help flesh it out and give you the very best options.
And I need to start with the probiotics, like, right now.
Yes, ma'am.
And I wonder how much.
Well, I'm only going to tell you what happened the other day. I saw a little girl that was just really, really sick to the point that the mother wanted to take her to the emergency room. And with the administration of probiotics, it was 200 billion. That was the amount that was chosen to be given. But poured directly. Yeah, she didn't like the taste of them. But, you know, who cares sometimes when you got a child that's sick, right?
Yeah.
But she swallowed those down. Just the capsule was opened. The probiotics were dumped into her mouth. And within 20 minutes, all systems were completely different. The child, instead of moaning and groaning in pain nonstop, talking about, I can't take it, I can't take it anymore, was talking about all these other things. And it was like the child was completely distracted. And that's what happens when you're out of pain and suffering. So you want to use enough, and that's probably what you want to look at.
Yeah, that's what grabbed my attention when you first started your program today, and you were talking about that little girl.
Mm-hmm.
That really grabbed my attention when you said that. I've got the 2 billion acidophilus.
Well, we need about 100 times that amount.
Okay.
But believe me, when you take those, you're doing yourself a huge favor. That's good. You're trying to make some positive changes where your immune system can actually work in a much, much better fashion. So 200 billion is usually probably the best starting point that I can think of.
Okay.
Or you can always ask your medical doctor what his recommendations are.
Okay.
I'm just joking about that. I didn't mean that in a bad way. But no, looking at colostrum, it's one of the most interesting ways to bolster immune function of all time. But in that study, I need to look up, I don't know if you're interested in all the technical jargon, but it showed they were looking at all these gene markers, who would respond the best to chemotherapy and have the best outcome. It was those that had the most beneficial probiotics. And of course, I don't know that I can say this perfectly, but all those beneficial bacteria, when they live inside of our gut, of course, they require us to give them food. So if your husband, which I know your husband well, he's probably sautéing onions and zucchini and asparagus in the skillet right now with butter to cook you a delicious breakfast, right?
Well, not exactly, but...
Well, pretty close to that, though, right?
So yes, sir.
He's probably got an omelet going in one skillet, and he's sautéing all these onions and zucchini and asparagus in the other, so he's going to put those in your omelet with some fresh cheese and make you a delicious breakfast, right?
Yes, sir.
I knew he would. And actually, he doesn't need to make any comments because I know he's busy cooking at the stove right now. But everything that's found in the onion, everything that's found in the zucchini and the asparagus, it contains all these compounds. That's food for beneficial microbes. See, yeah. I'm used to dealing with people with some regularity that say I never eat vegetables at all. Or they'll tell me this happens with such regularity. I'll say, what vegetables do you like? And about the only thing that ever comes up is going to be ketchup and the potato in the form of a French fry.
The only potatoes I'm eating are sweet potatoes.
I don't think you can go wrong, but sweet potatoes are wonderful for your gut. But about 15% of all the food that you're eating is going to be just food for the bacteria in your gut. So we want to feed them really well. Uh-huh. And actually, that might be the most important topic that we talk about. Everything that you put in your mouth is either going to feed those microbes. And if you feed those microbes well, they will in turn, they will make such valuable components for your body to help your immune system function at the highest level.
Right.
So everything that you eat, let's make sure it feeds those good beneficial microbes. So,
yes, sir.
Is he through with the omelet yet? Because I could probably make it there in about 3 or 4 minutes if I knew he had extra.
Yes, sir.
So keep...
I thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And any other questions at all?
And I'll be talking to you this week.
Okay. Thank you very, very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. You know, the word inflammation is going to suggest that there is a process in the body that's out of control. The body's not healing. It's not in good, it's just not in good shape. Things are spiraling out of control. Well, not eating sugar is one of the ways of getting rid of excess inflammation. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I need to ask you about this health food herbal medicine. It's I'll have to spell it to you. It's LYMPHATONIC. Do you know anything about that? It cleans your lungs and your lymph.
Well, that's what the first. Well, I mean, as far as the lympha.
Uh huh.
But tell me what you're dealing with.
Well,
do you have a lung issue?
No, sinuses and all that. Well, I have the place in your colon, like a colonoscopy.
Mm-hmm.
I have one place in my lung like that.
Well, are they calling it a polyp?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me give you a different idea on this. The sinuses are a really, really big deal that's important to take care of. This
uh-huh.
week, a wife told me that her husband is snoring horribly all night long. And I said, why don't we try just a very simple neti pot, just with a liquid and with some olive oil in it. And she reported back the very next day, she said, no snoring at all.
Oh, what was it in the...
It was just, there was the use of a neti pot, but it was only water. And I don't know if the water had been boiled ahead of time, probably so. I'm pretty sure he did not apply the boiling water to it. But it was just water and olive oil. That was it. And she reported back to me the very next day that the snoring completely stopped. So all the severe inflammation in the sinuses had gone away. And because that was, if a person feels like they have a low-grade sinus infection, do you think I argue with them? No, I believe them. I don't say, well, we haven't done exhaustive cultures and we haven't done a test. I don't care about that stuff. All I care about is people feeling good and functioning at a high level. So if she tells me that he was snoring horribly all night long, doesn't that suggest that the guy had significant inflammation in the nose and the sinuses?
Okay.
And so what we want to...
No, go ahead.
Is this medicine good for someone else to take like that if they
you
want
mean,
to clean their lymph nodes?
Well, what are the ingredients of the medicine? Because I'm not familiar with the product. That's what I should have asked you. What are the ingredients? But I would say as a general rule, when you're trying to help the immune system, it's hard to beat things
uh-huh.
like echinacea. Does it contain echinacea?
Yes, it does. It has that and red root. And
red root or blood root?
Well, it's got red root and
I don't know what red root
burdock
is.
Burdock root.
Well, no, those are all blood cleaners. That's all great stuff. And actually, there was a lot of physicians, they used to use burdock root back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s before antibiotics. But yes,
mm-hmm.
it's a very, very valuable blood cleaner. And the good thing about it is God made the plant echinacea. He also made red root. He also made burdock root. All those things are great.
Okay, that's what I needed to ask you.
Well,
thank
can,
you
I, ask,
so
can
much.
I ask you one quick question?
Yes,
have
sir?
Have you been trying any pharmaceutical remedies at all to help yourself, but you haven't been able to get results?
I used a sinus tablet.
Well, but you're wanting to, is it mainly to work on your lungs and your sinuses?
Yes, uh-huh.
Well, one thing I want to tell you is if we can get your sinuses or if you can improve your sinuses, then at least you won't have that horrible, yucky discharge and drainage that potentially goes into your lungs when you sleep at night.
Okay.
So what I told you a while ago, if you would consider a neti pot with olive oil, I can't like recommend that, but if you want to do that because you feel led to, then that's perfectly fine. But wouldn't it
okay.
be nice if the infection left your sinuses and your nose and the back of your throat?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I wish you the best.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It does sound like you made a very good choice. Do you know why people take nutritional remedies and supplements sometimes in place of drugs and pharmaceuticals? Well, number one, natural remedies don't kill people. Number two, people want to help themselves without being poisoned. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Doc. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Yes, you are great. You sound great. I'm blessed, thank God.
Well, I love to hear a blessed person.
Oh, yes, and I am. I truly am. I thank God for you, Dr. Morgan. I had called you on last week in regards to my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The remedy you gave me,
which,
I am so
which
grateful.
One? Which one?
You told me to go and get the natural dentist.
Where'd you go to get it?
I went to Drug Emporium.
Well, let's not.
And I found it cheaper at Walmart. I'm sorry, but I did.
But
I didn't even know Walmart carried that.
You mean it was found at Walmart?
I found it at Walmart for $2 and something cheaper,
You're not supposed to tell people where these remedies are found because all of a sudden all the people are going to flock and there won't be any left for you and I.
Well, we just have to hurry up and go get us a little more, okay?
It's either that or we just have to spread the news, right?
That's true. We have to share.
Oh,
Jesus
great.
Wants us to share.
So
and
you actually found this product at Walmart?
Yes, I did.
I had
was
no
so,
idea.
And I didn't go to Walmart for that. I was looking for something else and looked up and there it was. I'm like, what?
You know what? It happens to me all the time. I was at Walmart this last week and I was scouring the natural remedies and I thought, you mean they have that product here? I didn't know that was here. That's great.
And I found kefir. I had never, I used to hear you talk about kefir all the time. I'm like, kefir. Then
yeah.
I saw that at Drug Emporium, but I was really reluctant to get it.
All right.
If I do that and I don't like it, what am I going
to
do?
I love it. Well, tell me your response. What happened?
I love it. All the swelling is gone down except for just a tiny bit, and all the redness is gone. And I also use you told me about massaging it with olive oil with my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Wash my hands well, dry them with a good clean white towel, and I would just sit and massage it. And so forth and around the sides. I mean, at first, it was where I could barely even touch it.
Oh, it was pretty raw and
irritating,
wasn't it?
Oh, my God. It was horrible. It was horrible. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But I tell you, I'm able to talk to you today without any pain.
Well, look
and
at
I can
you.
Eat without any pain or soreness, you know. And I'm just so grateful. I am so grateful, and I thank you so
look
much.
At you. Oh, you're welcome.
I'm sure we all just love you. You can tell your heart is for God's people. People, period. But you know what I'm saying.
So now,
and,
do you feel good enough to kiss somebody? I mean, like if a grandchild or a child came in the house. Okay, all right, good.
Oh, yes, definitely. Wish they were here where I could do just that.
Well, let me, before you leave, I need to ask you some questions, please.
Yes, sir.
When you first put this dental rinse or this natural herbal remedy in your mouth, how long would you actually keep it in your mouth? Did it hurt initially when you put it in your mouth?
Just a little bit.
But
I think because it was a little raw, but what was good about it, there's no alcohol in it.
Right, uh-huh. It's just xylitol, right?
Yes.
Well, how long would it take before the pain started to ease? Like about 5 seconds, maybe?
Or less.
Well, see there, it didn't take long, did it?
No.
But how long would you swish it around your mouth and your gums?
About 30 seconds.
You know what, when I've done it before, I try to keep it there for about 5 minutes.
Well, a lot of times I forget because I was walking around the house doing other things. So.
See, it's good to be distracted with heavy housework.
It is. Good. And then I think, oh, my God, let me go get this out of my mouth. It's been well over 30 seconds, you know.
Now, I need to ask the next question.
Yes,
which store did you find this in? Which Walmart?
64.
The one
Tyler.
On 64. Okay, just right there on the Troop Highway, right?
Mm-hmm.
The one on the Ben Wheeler.
64 and the Loop.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the other side of town. You're over there by... between Sam's Club and the other in a town.
Well,
64, that's the one that
it
goes to Ben
Wheeler,
right?
It runs to the airport.
Right? Exactly,
yes,
airport highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in there, and then I was looking for, because I like the almond milk, and in looking for the almond milk, that's when I saw the kefir. And I'm like, oh, they selling kefir here? Oh, my gosh. But I couldn't have any because I was going in for a colonoscopy, and no milk products is allowed with that.
So how many bottles do they have on the shelf of the Natural Dentist for Gum Disease?
They had quite a bit.
Wow. What was the price?
It was six. I paid $8-something at Drug Emporium, and it was six.
Well, that's great.
Call, but it was $6-something.
Well, let's just say it's easily a dollar and change less. That's great.
But you know what? It was worth it to me, even at the $8, for what it did for me.
Well,
where
are you going to find a remedy like that for $8? You're just not.
Oh,
that's
I know, because if I had to go to the doctor, you're looking at $40 just to see the doctor.
Probably people getting in their car right now based on your recommendation, and they're driving to the Walmart on 64 in the Loop.
That could be true. That could be very true. But anyway,
yeah, I can
just wanted to say thank you
very
much.
Oh, you're welcome. And that means the world to me. What you say is more important than what I say. Good job.
I was just in so much misery. I mean, I was in misery, in pain. I was just really hurt.
So do you feel like you have hope now?
Oh, I do.
Oh,
but
that's
I can't hardly wait now to just get the teeth out so I don't keep going
well,
through that.
But you're doing the right thing. Everything that you've done is the best preparatory work of all time to get ready for your procedure. So way to go.
But let me ask you this. What I'm doing, I'm using them both, but I'm not using them together. After I brush my teeth, I use baking soda for my teeth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know baking soda has whitened my teeth?
Nothing wrong with that.
I didn't know it would do that, but I'm pleased with that.
You know what? You know what some people use to whiten their teeth with? Now, don't laugh at me.
I won't.
Just buy a big bag of activated charcoal, and you know what charcoal? That stuff is like coal tar black.
Yes, it is.
It's like as black as the darkest night of all time. But you know, you put the charcoal on the toothbrush and you scrub your teeth, but it removes all the stains and the debris from the dentin. That's great.
I had no idea, but I don't know if I want...
No, no, no. You should do this before you go to church tomorrow morning. That in what way, when you smile and there's like chunks of black between your teeth?
That's what I was just going to...
How's that going to affect me at all? I'm just going to say she's trying to get healthy.
That sounds all right, though, if it works. But the baking soda did it for me. Oh, but what I was going to ask you, what I'm doing is once I brush my teeth real good, I rinse it well. I don't use the antiseptic right away. I'll give it a few minutes for the gums and everything to, I don't know what I think it's doing, but...
Well, it's all right. You're doing great.
Okay, and then about an hour later, I start working with the olive oil.
Oh, all excellent.
It's okay to rotate that way
yes,
in between?
Ma'am.
I'm doing it 5 times a day.
I love your plan. It's most excellent.
Well, it was your plan, and you gave it to me, and I'm using it, and
no,
it
I
works.
I think it was your plan.
I would like to think that, but I have to be honest.
No, thank you very much, ma'am.
I appreciate you so much, and
you
have a blessed rest of your day. And that breakfast, by the way, that you just gave, that sounded so good.
Well, that wasn't my idea. That was Carl. I could hear him in the background, because I know y'all can't tell, but with the headphones on,
mm-hmm.
I thought I could hear butter sizzling in the skillet.
Are you hungry, Dr. Morgan?
Well, but is that wrong of me to compliment him on the zucchini, sauteed onions, and asparagus?
That's what I was trying to remember, what that was. I remember the asparagus.
Well, let's put it this way. If somebody folded those vegetables into an omelet, would you eat that?
I'm not sure about the asparagus. I don't know if I like it or not, but I'm willing to try it.
Oh, no, I'm willing to experiment at your expense. Who cares if you like it or not? It's good for you.
Okay, so it's right. Asparagus, onions, and what was the last one?
Well, zucchini.
Zucchini, okay.
And all that stuff is so easy to saute in a skillet with butter and fold into whatever you want.
With butter, okay.
You betcha.
I'm going to try that.
And
thank
plus,
you so
you're
much.
Building toward a day of healing and rejuvenation.
Exactly, exactly. Thank you so
you
much,
betcha.
Dr.
Thank
Argan.
You, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, let me share this with you right here. I know this may come as a new information, but I am convinced that one of the most acidic foods of all time has got to be sugar. It's not the only one. But the refined sugar is so acidic. Have you ever heard that bacteria, especially the toxic ones, they really like to grow in environments that are very acidic? Yeah. That's one of the reasons why when you gently alkalize the body, you can help prevent the overgrowth of bacteria. Now, to say it in simple terms, let's just say there's a ton of Halloween candy. And because you're a pretty liberal parent, you let your kids eat unlimited amounts of Halloween candy. Well, you couldn't be shocked if they developed a cold or the flu or an infection. So if you avoid candy and sweets, you might actually help your immune system overcome bacterial infections. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, yes. Is this Dr. Morgan?
Yeah, I caught you off guard because
it
took a while to push the button. Way to go.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was listening to it here on the web. Dr. Morgan, I've got notice from the doctor that I should have my gallbladder removed. I was feeling some pressure and things when I ate heavy and a lot of food and all. And when I was in just for a regular checkup, they prescribed and did a HIDA scan of my gallbladder, they say that when it's functioning below 35, which mine is about 20, 21, then I should have it removed. The consequences, if I don't, I understand I could have what's called an attack, which would be very severely painful. So I've kind of got that looming over me, but I don't think I'm having enough pain or trouble or anything with it.
Well, let me do this in reverse.
Okay.
If I had a severe gallbladder attack right now, this is just me, my decision is to go to the store and buy what's called Epsom salt.
Okay.
It's just a natural occurring mineral. It's made of magnesium sulfate.
Yeah,
it tastes yucky.
Okay.
Are you kidding? I'm not going to say, please tell me, do you really like the taste of Epsom salt in your mouth? Well, you're not going to say yes. But if it were me, I would take 2 heaping tablespoons of Epsom salt. And this is actually one situation where you might actually want to add it to either a ginger ale or some juice of some kind.
Yeah.
Because the stuff is just so out and out bitter. It is so bitter.
Yeah.
But I would drink that down the moment I had any pain.
Yeah.
But what that will do is for about 2 hours, it will momentarily greatly dilate and open up all that inflamed area so the junk and the debris can pass.
Okay.
I've just seen that work over and over and over again. And I'll just say on me, because if somebody thinks I'm making a recommendation, I don't want to get in trouble. Number two,
okay.
The bile always becomes very thick if you have insufficient amounts of vitamin C to meet all the requirements and needs of your body. So. So vitamin C plays a role in helping to thin bile. Number two, if it were me, I would start the process of using what's called lemon juice and olive oil every morning. Now, once you get going, you might say, hey, could I use a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil and a tablespoon of freshly squeezed lemon juice and a glass of water? And I would say, yes, I will, and I would drink that down first thing every morning. Okay. And I would start breaking up all that debris in there. Number three.
Okay.
There is a B vitamin-like compound called choline. Okay. Choline has got to be the most valuable substance of all time when you have gallstones and debris and gunk in your bile ducts and your gallbladder. But at the end of the day, it's just always the same thing. If you can focus on eating meat and vegetables with a little bit of fruit and avoiding grains and starches and sugar, then you're in business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, you know, this is going to disappoint the surgeon because he was really banking on getting that new Porsche with your gallbladder surgery. So I'm joking about that. That's just a joke, sort of. So tell me, what do you want to do? Do you want to clean out your gallbladder where it can work the way that God designed it to?
Yeah, clean it out.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
So we'll start eating avocados.
Okay.
Sweet potatoes tend to be very advantageous to gallbladder function.
Okay.
So tell me, and of course I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but you tell me, what can you eat tonight that you know is going to create problems?
Probably if I ate French fries.
And a pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
but I don't plan to.
Well, I know, because you're using logic. You know what? It's probably not great for me to eat these extra greasy fries tonight at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, what can you eat that doesn't cause any problems whatsoever?
Actually, I can eat most anything and it doesn't.
Well, I just don't think it's that big a deal. It may be as simple as you have a significant deficiency of vitamin C.
Yeah.
You probably have an out-and-out choline deficiency. That's C-H-O-L-I-N-E. And if you start eating real food and avoid sugar, you're going to see a significant improvement. Usually the more a person weighs, the more gallbladder problems they have.
Mm-hmm.
What if you start exercising every day and you start drinking pure water and you squeeze a little bit of lemon juice? Lemon juice is a very powerful solvent, but it would be really humorous on my end of the story if you called me and told me 3 months from now that they did another HIDA scan and it's up to 42%, and on ultrasound they can't find the gallstones. They've been dissolved and they're gone.
Uh-huh.
So that'd be pretty funny in a good way.
Yeah. Well, something else happened. It was 5 years ago that I just came down. I was really sick. I was working at a polling place, and I mean they had to actually take me to the emergency room, and they kept me all day long running up my bill. And finally they did a ultrasound and found a stone.
A gallstone?
Yeah.
Well, see, you had a gallbladder attack right there.
Huh. Well, I mean, it wasn't severely painful. I was just nauseated and...
Well, no. I don't know that I can always say this 100% of the time, but I would say the vast majority of all cases of nausea are going to emanate right from that gallbladder.
Huh.
You know, whether I say the bile ducts, the biliary tree, the common bile duct, the gallbladder, it's kind of all the same thing. They're all interconnected.
Yeah.
And so when that becomes inflamed, oh, yeah, you can be nauseous.
Mm.
And there might be some times that it's good to have nausea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying a person enjoys that, but it makes you take pause and say, okay, what's going on here? What do I need to do? But you probably had a significant gallbladder attack right there.
Mm.
But you just got to find out what your food allergy is. You're eating something that's generating inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can pinpoint what that is, you'll be by far and away better off.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Well, I'm not going to rush to surgery. I mean,
well, let me ask you a question. Do you have is your stool color kind of like a medium to dark brown color?
Yeah.
Is it is it lighter like a yellow clay color?
Just medium, I think.
Okay, so there's hope for you then. No, really, God, maybe I'll say it this way, and I hope I'm not misspeaking, but God has designed the body to repair itself, and I would be the first to confess the only reason that I'm breathing right now is because he gives me that. I'm not responsible for the breath that's within me, but I'm responsible for how I take care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But God has made your body to, it can dissolve gallstones.
Yeah.
I know there's probably 30 people listening right now. They're screaming, saying that's impossible. I'm not discouraging anybody from having all the gallbladder surgery they want. If you want to just for fun today have gallbladder surgery, I can't stop you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you that your body can completely heal. It can eject those stones. It can crush them. It can break them down. It can dissolve them. And the thing of it is, you can see them pass. I've had people bring in jars before with what we estimate to be 5,000 to 10,000 gallstones. I couldn't count them all. But when you do a very specific gallbladder flush and they pass, you think I spend my time arguing with patients that can't be a gallstone because every surgeon says it's impossible. You can only get those taken care of by having it removed. You need your gallbladder. It's one of the most valuable organs in the body. One of the main roles of the gallbladder is to prevent severe infections from within the gut. So if you want to keep the balance of flora just right, I say keep your gallbladder. Well, let's just go through a season of healing and repair. But, yeah, you can keep it.
Okay, because I've been told you don't really have to have it. And I said, wait a minute. You know, God created it. I must need it.
I'm going to agree with you. Yeah, and, you know, just because a person can live and survive, and, yes, there are times that it's important to have the gallbladder removed. But I would say that's probably like option number 7 or 8 on the lowest part of the list. Number one, I'd say if we just change the diet to where it's going to be meat and vegetables, I would say cutting out all refined sugar and junk food. You'll probably see a huge change just from doing that.
Yeah.
Drinking plenty of water, adding lemon juice to your water in the morning with a little bit of extra virgin olive oil.
Cranberry juice?
Well, if it's unsweetened, sure. But if it's just naturally sweet, which that's debatable if that's even possible. But, yeah, that will be just fine.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, I'm very encouraged.
Well, good. And you know what? You're going to be like everybody else. You're going to call me 2 weeks from now, and you're going to say I'm significantly better. But I would recommend, this is just like one little tidbit. It's been my experience. You do not want to do a massive gallbladder flush until the inflammation's completely gone from your bile ducts.
Okay.
Because that would be, and I'm not a really negative person, at least I don't think I am, but you really don't want to do a gallbladder flush if you have a massive amount of inflammation in your gallbladder. Got to let that kind of heal and calm down. That way, whatever's in there, once it contracts and comes out, all that stuff can pass without any trouble.
Yeah.
Unless they've told you that you have a stone that's the size of a 57 Buick or something like that.
Well, I think that stone 5 years ago obviously has passed.
Yeah, how about that? No, really, I believe everything that you're saying because the body can eject anything given the right circumstances.
Sure.
I had a lady that I saw years ago, and I'll try not to waste your time. But her system was pretty fragile, and there wasn't a whole – I couldn't do anything super aggressive, but she tried a simple protocol for just 2 months. And one day she woke up and she went to the bathroom, and I think she passed over 200 gallstones. But they came out of their own – at their own timing. Nobody – I didn't do a flush of any kind with her because I felt like I couldn't. But all that debris came out just on its own. The body just ejected it and pushed them out. So
okay, I've got a question about these stones. Not to get too yucky or anything, but
no, go ahead.
What do they look like?
Well, I would say the vast majority that I've seen, they're going to be kind of a lime green color or like an avocado green color, and usually they float. And when they float, that's going to be more hardened, congealed bile. They're not made of granite. If they were made of pearls, maybe I would save those anyway. But you know what? I'm speaking from authority. I've passed some gallstones myself. So I have firsthand proof of what, you know, how to do it and what they look like. See, that's the thing of it. It's not really good for me not to tell people to do stuff, but I've never done it myself. Yeah, but they'll look green, or they can be kind of a brownish color. But they're very easy to capture. That's why some people use cheesecloth. But anyway, I have really enjoyed visiting with you today.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to Health Essentials. This program is on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 o'clock. And if I'm not mistaken, they replay one of these programs on Sunday afternoon. I just can't remember if that's 2 or 3 o'clock. But you're listening to KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview. And I've enjoyed being with you.